Blog Talk Radio.
We would have you understand that the flame that you are burns eternally and shall never go out, no matter how bright you allow yourself to become. We shall have you understand that you exist now and always shall, and you always have, because now is the only time and the only place and the only existence there is and always has been and ever shall be. You are eternal. You are infinite. You are spirit. You are body. You are mind. You are heart. You are soul. You are an idea. You are an expression. You are a thought. You are a dream of the infinite creation. But that is reality, and all reality is couched within your dream. You contain it all. You are the whole expression in your own individualized way. You are the matrix. The matrix is you. You are everything. Everything comes from you. Everything gives birth to you as you reinforce the existence of everything and everyone. All that is, the infinite creation, the fabric of existence, chose you. Chose that you should exist. Chose you. Consciously chose you. You are in that way, therefore, blessed. And we would have you understand that. Simply because of the fact that you exist, you are blessed. For you are created out of divine material, out of divine light. You are the infinite creator. And your existence was a conscious decision, a conscious thing, a conscious choice. Act in like manner. Be of like mind. Respect yourselves. Love yourselves unconditionally. For out of unconditional love were you created. And out of unconditional love shall you create anything you desire. Begin to feel the energy of your interlinking with all thought forms, all consciousness, all civilizations, all eyes, all ideas, all mind, all heart, all soul, all spirit is one. And you are one within that sea, within that pool. Know that you are the fabric and the essence of the galactic energy. Not one of you, in that sense, can be removed from the matrix without the collapse of the entire structure. You are integral in that way. You are essential in that way. And we would have you understand that because you are interconnected in this way, because everything you do has impact within the entirety of creation, that you deserve to exist in this way, and you deserve to be the fullest individual you can imagine yourself to be. That you deserve to manifest all the things you can conceive of. That you deserve the existence you have been given, or it would not have been granted to you. That you deserve all the love you can imagine, because love is what you are made out of. That you deserve all the light you can create in your life, because light is what you are made out of. Feel in the beating of your heart that it keeps pace with the rhythm and the pulse of the spinning of all the galaxies, of the fabric of existence itself, of the universal heart of infinite creation. For you all beat within that heart, and not a one of you is outside the heart of all that is. You are the blood and the life force of God itself. It is your force and your life as well. You are it, and it is you. Out of your dreams, be born. Out of your heart, be alive. Out of your soul, be light. For you are nothing else.
Revolutionary Life. This is Gary
speaking. I'm going to be your host today. Welcome to Revolutionary Life. This is where we talk about the things that affect our lives every day, directly and indirectly, that affect our lives. But we don't talk about them like the news do. We approach these issues from a revolutionary point of view. And revolution is just change. It's just that the revolutionary wants to be on the vanguard of that change. Change is constant. It's going to happen. Only a reactionary tries to hold back the inevitable. We all know that if there's one thing constant in this world, it's change, revolution. There's a lot of things need changing. Tonight on Revolutionary Life, we're talking about AI. We're talking about artificial intelligence, cybernetics, cyborgs, and the like, robots. And tonight's title is Artificial Intelligence versus Organic Intelligence, or Human Intelligence, you might say. I want to welcome everybody for listening in tonight. Grab a seat. We're here every weekday night, by the way, from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And so be sure to keep up with us for the rest of the week. Yeah, tomorrow's Friday here. And today, May 13th, 2021, we're talking about AI, guys. We're talking about what they're saying is the future. Artificial intelligence, robots, machine intelligence. And I ask, in our title, we say, we have set up a syllogism. We've set up a concept here, a concept here where we're going to look at both artificial intelligence, artificial per its name, and natural, organic, human intelligence. And you tell me what the future should look like, machines or more intelligent human beings. Tonight, this is a call-in show. I'm sorry. Every night, this is a call-in show. This is a call-in show, guys. And so tonight, I'm going to be at a certain point in the show. I will announce call-in times. All right? At that time, I will give out our call-in number. And in fact, that call-in number should be on our site right there if you're on the site. Also, the chat room will be open. That's where it's your time to shine, I call it. That's where you get a chance to call in and comment. If you call me, you go straight on to the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. Also, we got the chat room open. So if you have a question, comment, whatever, hysterical outburst, put it in the chat. I will respond to it. All right? But I will announce that call-in time, guys. And so tonight, we're talking about something serious here because a lot of energy is being put into AI, artificial intelligence, machines that can think faster and better than you can, supposedly, as opposed to human intelligence or organic intelligence, the intelligence in nature. Have we did that yet? Have we outstripped nature in intelligence and figuring shit out? Well, we'll see. I'm going to give you a little music. When I come back, guys, we're going to get into artificial intelligence, robots and the like versus you. Yeah. Versus you. I'll be right back. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. You're listening to Revolutionary Life, and this is your host, Gary. Tonight, on the episode tonight, is called Artificial Intelligence versus Organic Intelligence. I want to start this presentation off by telling you a story about robotics that I experienced. When I was a kid in school, they showed me a film on robotics. They was trying to get more kids interested back in the day into robotics. They sold us on robotics with a cartoon. This wasn't a video, a video of people and actors. It was actually a cartoon. But the cartoon showed us an assembly line that would once maybe had workers assembling a car. Hundreds of workers on both sides of the assembly line working on these cars, producing these cars as they came down the assembly line. And then the cartoon changed and there were robots assembly line. And the workers were standing on the side, smiling, holding hands, actually with their arms on each, across, the, hugging each other, along with the boss, the owner of the factory. Now, he was depicted as a guy with a big top hat and a cigar in his mouth, you know, a rich guy. It was, you know, money bags type of cartoon. And but the workers had worker uniforms on. And overalls and worker hat and all that. So you could tell the difference. And the workers and the boss were both dancing around happy because robots were doing the work instead of human beings. And we were tool and soul on getting into robotics. Fresh out of high school, going into college, we were soul and toe that robotics was going to make life easy for everyone. We're going to have robots doing what human beings used to have to labor at. And the benefit to the business, is, of course, is that they were going to get their products done by machines and not have to hire and fire and all that with employees. The benefit to the worker, they told us, was more leisure time. They told us workers would have much more leisure time. I'm quoting these folks, y'all. We're going to put in robots, and robots are going to do the work y'all used to do, workers used to do, and therefore workers will have now, instead of working, you will have more leisure time. That was when I went into college, guys. Oh, man, was we interested in robotics, automation. No more humans? Robots doing all the work for us? That's the future, baby. That's what we thought. Nobody told us. Nobody said, nobody whispered a word to us that those robots were going to put us out of work. Yeah, we had more leisure time, but we had to use that leisure time trying to find a way to make a living, trying to find another job, because they didn't need us anymore. They had robots. Robots don't take vacations. So the businessman being happy in that cartoon where the businessman was dancing around happy because of robots and the workers were dancing with him, where the businessman benefit remained. Sure enough, the businessman got robots, machines doing the labor instead of workers. He didn't have to pay payroll taxes. The businessman didn't have to worry about people not showing up for work, getting sick, taking sick leave, pregnancy leaves, child care, medical care, all of that. Gone. Boom. You don't have to worry about that with a machine. Production went down tremendously. Not that it was just cheaper to make the machine, but it was cheaper to make it with a machine than with a human who had a salary or wage. Beautiful for the businessman. What about that benefit for the worker? We were dancing around in that cartoon watching robots do our job, but nobody told us that we were going to have to go find another job because the robot had replaced us. Nobody told us. They told us we'd have more leisure time, but nobody told us we'd have to use that leisure time to find work. They sold us, guys, on building robots. I mean, my major in college, guys, was IT. And so information technology, we rushed into college to get into the new automation robotics and AI, artificial intelligence. That was the future. Now today, those robots are up and running in those factories. And if you've ever been to Detroit, the automobile capital of the United States at one time, you know what robots did. They put people out of work. And nobody said, okay, we got other jobs for you. None of that. Go back to school and learn AI for a factory worker. So robots, AI, the future, what does that mean for you? What does that really mean for you? Artificial intelligence and robotics from a business standpoint? Gotcha. Makes sense. But how many of y'all own and run a business, a corporation, a factory, the means of production? And what about that leisure time? Not only this, guys. Listen to me. It is okay. This is what I mean by you've been told and sold. They told and sold us on robotics. We were dancing with the employer at the coming of robots and automation. Listen, guys. The car that was made by a $14 an hour worker is now made by a machine. All right? You replace hundreds of workers. That's hundreds of $14 an hour. Hundreds of hours of $14 a piece. And so, guys, it was cheaper to make those cars. In fact, it's cheaper to make a car part and then assemble it in Mexico, in a factory in Mexico, where they pay $14 a week in a place, in a factory called a maquinadora. Look up maquinadoras. That's what they call them in Mexico, where everybody goes into these big factories to work. They are factories built by American companies. That companies that have gone down there to have the assembly, any assembly work, any labor intensive. Assembly work is labor intensive. Any labor intensive part of their factories, they've been moving to where labor is dirt cheap. Okay, works out fine for the corporation. But when they move that factory to Mexico, they put you out of work. When they replace you with a robot, they put you out of work. So they're making cheaper cars now. It's cheaper to make a car. Tell me why the car costs more now than it did when a $14 an hour worker made it. If it's being made cheaper through robots, see, I can tell you and I can sell you on the idea that, look. If you make life hard for a businessman, if you raise my taxes, if you raise the cost it takes me to produce, if you raise these wages for these workers, you're going to cause me to have to raise my prices on my cars. Because if I have to raise, if it costs me more to do business, I'm going to have to recoup that cost. And you can understand that. I have to then move, take that new expense and pass it on to the consumer. So a business can tell you, and you will accept this idea, that if it costs me more to produce now, then I'm just, if you charge me more taxes, if you raise the minimum wage, you're going to cost me more to produce my cars, and so I'm going to have to owe my product, whatever it is, and I'm going to have to pass that cost on to the consumer. And you say, oh, yeah, I guess that's right. If you make it more expensive for the business to do business, all they're going to do is raise the prices on us, on the consumer. They're going to pass that cost on to the consumer. And you say, okay, I understand how that works. Yeah. But let me ask you something. If I lower your cost of doing business, if I cut your taxes in my city, in my state, in my country, if I lowered wages to make it cheaper for you to run your factory, if I lowered your utility costs and gave you all kind of pilot programs and discounts to get you to come to my state and run your factory, if I make it cheaper for you to produce your product, what if you pass that savings on to the consumer? Y'all don't hear me. It's okay for me to pass extra cost on to the consumer. So you don't want to make it hard on the business, because the business is just going to end up raising its prices and making it harder on the consumer. What if we made it easy on the business? What happened to the prices going down? If I took a car that was made of metal and chrome, real metal, real rubber, real steel, with a real tire, spare tire in the trunk, with a real spare tire in the trunk versus a donut, a temporary tire in the trunk. If I assembled that car in a country where they got $14 a week rather than $14 an hour, I just saved all kinds of money. When I bring that car to the United States to sell it, it's made out of fiberglass now. It's made out of some carbon, whatever. It's made not out of steel or metal anymore, not even a real bumper on the car anymore. There's no real spare tire in the car anymore. There's a donut. There's a temporary tire in the car anymore. It's not made by a $14 an hour worker. It's made in Mexico or Indonesia or China or somewhere where wages are low. What happened to the savings That damn car costs more than your 57 Chevy. It costs more than you paid for a metal car, a real. It costs more than you paid for it when a $14 an hour worker was making that car. What happened to passing on the savings to the consumer? Oh, you sold on, you understand if a business tells you I'm going to have to raise my prices because the government is causing me more taxes or putting more regs on me or making me put in clean air stuff or whatever. You got that. Well, why don't you get this? If they're saving money by replacing a worker with a machine, what happened to the price coming down on the product? It don't happen. They put that money in there. That's how we get billionaires. That's how we get these damn near trillionaires. I'm just saying. They sold me on robotics out of high school. Told me workers gonna have more leisure time. And they was right, but we had to take that leisure time to eat, to find work, because we just got put out of a job. I'm going to give you a little music. I want you to think about that, and I'll be right back. And you guys, you're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is your host. Tonight, guys, we're talking about AI. Artificial intelligence, robots, and the like. I told you that my major was was IT, guys. So I told you the story of how we were told that the AI, that robots were going to give us more leisure time. They didn't tell us they were going to put us out of work. So guys, folks, now the big thing is AI. Artificial intelligence, making a machine that can not only weld some parts together on an assembly line, calibrated correctly, but now we're going to have machines that can think. Now we're going to have machines that can think better than you, that can do Jeopardy, that can do chess games, that can play chess better than you. Smarter than you, quicker than you. Artificial is on the way, they say. They haven't quite figured it out yet. And this program is called Artificial Intelligence versus Organic Intelligence. And here's the thing. What they have to do to make artificial intelligence outdo you is they literally have to use you, your brain, which is more intelligent than any machine. They have to use your brain's construction. They have to try to mimic your functions to make their thing function. So you're the prototype already walking around. The problem is, can they make another one of you? Smarter, faster, and will work for cheaper. AI. You have to think of these things. And we learned this the hard way back in the day in terms of business and the corporate world and profits. You have to understand that there was no way that the scientists, the mathematicians, many of them had no idea in the days of Albert Einstein and Oppenheimer that they were making an atomic bomb that would be dropped on two cities, not military installations, cities full of people going to work every day, regular people, children. Some of them regret they had worked on the atomic bomb, but they didn't know that atomic energy, what they thought would be energy for the future, they was told and sold too. They didn't know that they were preparing to make one of the most terrible weapons that the world had ever known. They didn't know how it's going to be used. That's the problem with technicians, scientists, technicians, engineers, and mathematicians. We're glad to do the work. I'm one of them. We're glad to do the work. It's exciting. It looks like the future. That's what we've been told. We don't know what they're going to do with it. So don't get it twisted. Robotics wasn't about you in your leisure time. That's what they told us. Robotics wasn't about you. Automation wasn't for you. Or it could have been. You remember the dynamic I just spoke about? Before I left here, I spoke about a simple dynamic that you've accepted, that the cost of doing business goes up. It's okay for a company to say, I'm going to have to pass that cost on to the consumer. You go with that. Makes sense. But if the price of doing business goes down, do you lower the price of your product? If you made something out of metal, and now you make it out of plastic, or fiberglass, or some carbon material, it's cheaper to make now. If you use a robot instead of a $14 an hour worker on an auto assembly line, or if you use cheap labor in another country, it's cheaper to make now. But I bet you that car costs more than when it was made of metal by a $14 an hour worker. What happened to passing on the savings to the consumer by lowering the price of the product? That don't happen. If quantity lowers a price and scarcity raises the price, why is it then that if I have a factory that can turn out 1,000 loaves of bread an hour made by machines, that a bread is not cheaper? In fact, if my machines mess around and make too much bread, more than I can push, I'll put that bread, I'll put it on ice. I'll put it in the warehouse. I'll do something to hold it back off of the market, even though there's plenty. Listen, y'all don't hear me, man. Somebody is talking about an oil shortage. My goodness. Wake up. Baby, there is no oil shortage anywhere. Oil is coming up out the ground in the Middle East. They call it sweet crude. It comes out the ground by itself. You don't even have to pump it. Comes out the ground damn near already refined. They call it sweet crude. Look in the business section. Look on the commodities. Look on the oil. The most expensive oil is sweet crude because it comes up out the ground already refined damn near through the sands, and it just shows up on the ground in the Middle East. And still they're pumping oil out the ground. When the COVID went down, they had ships loads of oil that they couldn't ship. They didn't have a place to put it all. People are putting in solar panels in cities. Cities are making solar arrays and wind turbines and mixing the two together. They're using fossil fuels, but they also are adding in free sunlight. They're also adding in solar panels. My own city has an array of solar panels. My utilities haven't gone down because they have a contract with the energy provider that's in perpetuity. I won't get into that. But listen to me. It's cheaper to make electricity. Where is this oil shortage coming from? And then somebody told me we had a leak in the pipe because of some cyber, some hacker hacked into a oil company's pipeline and screwed it up some kind of way. And so the pipeline stopped pumping oil, or it started leaking oil or something like that. One company gets hacked, and the nation has an oil shortage? Get out of here. Come on, guys. There is no oil shortage. There's more oil, and there's going to be more oil as folks get more into electric cars. You think Tesla is worried about an oil shortage? You think Ford Mustang E, the new electric Ford, this Mustang that's coming out, You think the Chinese and all these people putting out these EVs, these electric vehicles, the oil companies see that gasoline coming, that need for less and less gasoline coming. They need to dump that gas and fast. Gasoline at the pump, it's going to be electricity at the pump. That's where it's going. And they know that. But with all of these sustainable, renewable movement going on, there is no shortage of. And if one oil company went down tomorrow, one, there still will be no shortage of oil and gas. I heard the president had to come out the other day and tell these oil companies, we're gonna be watching y'all, these gas stations, because if y'all start, if y'all start ripping people off, raising your oil price, raising gas prices at the gas pump, if you go to the gas pump and the oil prices are up and the gas price is up, and the only excuse is because one oil company got hacked, one, they lying to you, and they're trying to get your money, and they're going to get it. They're going to get it. You got to go to the gas station. Yeah, it was $1 an hour. Now it's $2 an hour. Then it's $3 an hour. There's one place saying it's for $6 an hour, a gallon. Gouging, they call it. An oil shortage. We saw an oil shortage. That was an oil shortage in the 70s, man. It was called an oil shortage. There wasn't any shortage. They quit producing. They held it back to make it scarce, to run the price up. That's what OPEC is all about. These are oil companies that get together and set the price of oil. They can hold that oil back and tell you ain't no oil, or they can put it out there on the market and say there's plenty. You know that. You watch that happen every holiday, every vacation season. You watch the price of oil go up and down, gas. They playing with you. And you can't do a damn thing about it. They playing with you. There is no oil shortage. They have to take down more than one oil company. They have to take down more than one pipeline for there to be an oil shortage. And they fixed that thing in a week. Before the week was out, that oil line was back to work. They paid the hackers, I guess. They paid off the hackers. It was ransomware. This is a particular software for hackers use, where they ask for money, and if you pay them, they'll release your system back to you. If they take control of it, they'll ask for money, ransom. And if you pay the money, they'll release your system back to you, and that's exactly what happened in this case. It was a ransom, paid. It doesn't take a week for that company to get back on its feet again after being hacked. They didn't shut it down for good, forever. If there was a pipeline that broke, it wouldn't take a week for them to repair the pipeline. Come on, guys. There's no oil shortage. I'm just saying. Artificial intelligence gave us that little thing because it was computers that were hacked that stopped the oil flow. It was being run automated. You see, they haven't figured it out yet, guys. AI has not come to fruition. And it's not. And it's not. They haven't figured it out. Let me ask you something. I don't know how old you are, but if you don't remember, when they made a mistake on a car and they had to recall cars because they made a mistake on the brakes or they steering or some mistake in production where they had to recall hundreds of cars or where you had to go get it fixed at a local station or something at their cost. Now, when a car has a problem, they're recalling millions of cars. Hundreds of thousands to millions of cars to be recalled. Why? Because you don't have workers, human beings, assembling your cars. You have AI running the machine, running the computer. You have robots on the assembly line. And all they have to do, folks, is get out of calibration, an inch from calibration, and they miss the weld that they're supposed to hit. If they're welding and they get out of calibration, they weld the wrong spot. But do you know that damn near a million cars come off that line before somebody realized that this machine is not hitting the right spot? Because ain't nobody looking. They turn that thing on and it turns out a million cars. All of these robots going at it. Turn out a million cars and somebody goes, oh, it's off by an inch or two. So it's welding in the wrong spot. We need to call those cars back. By that time, a million cars has hit the road and a million more are being produced. The machines don't know any difference. Know that they're drilling, they're welding the wrong spot or whatever. They got off by a calibrated inch or whatever. So they have to be recalibrated and started all over again. They ain't figured it out. That's my point. And my position, of course, is that here's what you really need to watch out for. Here's what you really need to know, guys, I think, is they don't want robots that act like people. What they could really use, robots. We're talking cyborgs. We're talking cybernetics. Elon Musk, one of many, who have produced implants that's supposed to help you be smarter or something. I don't know. But it goes in your head, behind your ear. There's a drawing showing where this implant that the Elon Musk factories, the Tesla factories are turning out. This thing goes behind your ear, in your head. It settles in your brain, and it's supposed to augment. It's an augmentation to your existing intelligence. It's supposed to make you better. You're already better. Than any machine, than any AI. And I'll tell you why. When I come back, guys, I'm going to tell you why AI is not about making robots that are smart as you. These implants that they're making, Tesla's making to go in your head, other companies are making to augment you, to help you do things, to make you the bionic man, to make you bionic, cyber bionics, or whatever they call it, cybernetics, integrating human being and machine together. Oh, no. It ain't about making machines that are smarter than humans. It's not about making machines that can behave like humans. It's about making humans that behave like machines. I'm going to give you a little music, and I'll be right back. I want you to marinate on that. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. Yeah. Listening to Revolutionary Life. Oh yeah, we look at life and everything that has to do with our lives, directly and indirectly, except we look at it from a revolutionary point of view. That's all. Thank you for listening in tonight. Revolutionary Life is here from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, every week, day, night, Monday through Friday. And tonight, we're talking artificial intelligence and robotics and cyborgs and cybernetics and the like. and I told you. They sold us on robotics. Said it's going to give working people more leisure time if robots are doing the work instead of you. AI, artificial intelligence, is a part of this process because robots will do the thinking instead of you. Anybody out here remember when you used to, old enough to remember, when you had a phone book? Who uses a phone book anymore? Anybody out there remember when you had a little black book with phone numbers in it? Who does that anymore? Anybody out there remember when you could remember people's phone numbers by heart? Anybody out there knows what it looks like when you lose your cell phone today? If you can remember a phone number of a friend or relative by heart, AI, robots will do the work. The coming of AI, they will do the thinking for you. Is that going to give you more leisure time? Or is that going to set you back mentally, intellectually, and physically? It depends on how it's used, ladies and guys. Because all we were talking about is that all this information and all these innovations and all this technology could be useful, very useful, can take us into the 22nd century like we think of the future. You know, you're not old enough to remember George Jetson, the Jetsons. And there was a cartoon about what we'd be doing in the future, flying around and in our own little space cars and whatnot, and robots cooking our food and preparing it for us and bringing it to us and all that good stuff. Oh, no. They ain't figured that one out yet. But that's what they sold us. Now they're selling you on AI, artificial intelligence. Not only that, I told you while I left here that Elon Musk and the Tesla Corporation has come out with an implant under the skin in the brain that's supposed to augment. That's a term they use. Augment your intelligence. In the meantime, we need our intelligence augmented, don't we? We're more intelligent than machines right now. All of that money, all of that research could be put into you. You don't know what I'm saying. Let me explain it to you. I did a presentation, and you can find that presentation. All of our presentations are archived. So you can always go to our on-demand section, which is right on the page if you're watching this show. It's on the same page, and it, let me open up my chat, and it's on the same page. You scroll down, and you'll see all of our on-demand presentations, and there's one we did on placebo. I don't know if you've heard of it, but placebo, there's something called placebo, and there's something called nocebo. That's a new term. But it means something. Placebo is what happens in a clinical trial when they give everybody the medicine, the actual drug that they're testing for tumors, let's say, for people who have these tumors all over them. And they give one person a drug that's supposed to reduce these tumors. And they give another person a drug. They give another person a sugar pill, but they don't tell them that. They believe they're taking the drug. Well, the FDA, the Federal Drug Administration, refused to put a drug out on the market because in the trials, in the clinical trials, 7 out of 10 people got relief from the tumors who took that drug. Problem was, 7 out of 10 people who took the sugar pill, tumors went away. What's really going on? So the FDA says, we don't know if this drug works. So they wouldn't allow the drug to be put out on the market until it could beat the placebo group. The people who took nothing but sugar, they didn't know it. Well, anyway, the research being done into this placebo effect is called, look it up, guys, P-L-A-C-E-B-O, placebo. The people doing the research have also established a new name called nocebo. What is that? That means that some people, without having any illness or disease transmitted to them, will get sick and die because of something they believe they have. Maybe somebody told them they had it. Maybe they were looking at the internet or the commercial on TV and they assumed that they had this disease that they were talking about. I don't know. But somehow, people can believe they're getting sick and get sick, deathly sick. They found out that not only will the placebo heal you, that belief that you took a real good drug, but they also found out that nocebo, the belief that you're sick, can kill you. What's the underlying thing? Belief. Instead of doing more research into how this is going on, how is the human body healing itself off of nothing but a belief that is taking a wonder drug, and they say a hypodermic gives the best placebo effect, because if you shoot somebody in the arm, they really think they're taking a medication, and it's just sugar. They don't tell them that. So you can really make the placebo work better with a hypodermic. Have you got your shot yet? Have you got your 2 COVID shots? I'm just saying, they've discovered that you can heal yourself, is what they found out, and you can kill yourself, is what they found out. Why isn't there more research, instead of AI, why is there more research done into that? Surgeries. Guys, if you go back and listen to my thing on placebo, you'll hear a doctor talk about his surgeries that he put on tape, on a CD. And when he gets ready to do the surgery, he pops the CD in without the patient knowing it. And he tells the patient, I'm going to let you watch me do this operation on your knee. And the patient watches this video screen, this monitor. And all he's watching is a CD playing. The doctor is not operating on him. He doesn't know. They put an incision in him, sew him back up. That's all they did. He saw a whole surgery going down on that monitor, on his leg, he thought, on his knee. This guy's getting up, walking around now, thanking the doctor, shaking his hand. Years later, this guy's saying, I'm walking back and forth to the store. I used to couldn't even walk to the store. And the doctor had to tell him. In this particular series, the doctor meets with him later in years and tells him that you never got a surgery. And the guy can't believe it. Y'all don't hear me. Ain't no machine gonna do that. Instead of putting money into AI and research into artificial intelligence, what about your intelligence? Why don't we work on you? It looks like you can do more than you know. Y'all don't hear me. I just got through watching a video where a 10-year-old girl started drawing at 10 without anybody asking her, without no artist in her family. She started drawing. And today, now she's 12, 13, she's a teenager now. And today her drawings, she's making drawings that are worth thousands of dollars. And she's never had a drawing lesson in her life. Her parents said she'd been doing this since she was 10 years old. So they started buying her paints. And somebody said in the film, well, she's not growing up like a normal child because you're not sending her, you're not teaching her mathematics and all these things. You're just giving her ink and letting her do her thing. And she's happy because she's doing her thing. She loves to paint. But they're saying a normal child? The parents say, what do you mean a normal child? You mean she should be having her head stuck into a cell phone on TikTok, shaking her ass or doing some dance? She should be texting back and forth? Is that a normal child? Instead of pursuing your children's interest in life, you got to get them ready for the world of work. That's what your schools are going to do, regardless of what they love to do and what they do automatically. Why aren't they putting that money into working on you? You don't know how powerful you are. I just got through watching a kid who's got, this kid can't be more than, what? At 5 years old, something like that, this kid is sitting at a piano playing Mozart. His family ain't got no musicians in it. I went to college, guys. I went to college, and I looked around, and there's a little kid in college. There's a little kid walking around campus just like everybody else. He couldn't have been more than 12, I think, something like that. He wasn't no midget. His mama brought him to school. He couldn't drive or nothing. And this little kid was going to college with me. And he was smarter than everybody in the class. What college was that, you might ask? But this kid was smart, Jack. I'm sitting in college with all these grown-ups, and there's a little kid sitting over there. I'm going, ain't this guy in the wrong classroom? Shouldn't he be over there in elementary school? No. He's got a 4.0 grade point average. You kidding me? You don't know how smart you are. And ain't nobody going to tell you how smart you are. They're going to let you linger in health-wise. And they're going to let you find work to do. They prepare you to go find a job. That's it. You ain't supposed to be intelligent. They got a machine to do your thinking, AI. Instead of putting all of that research into making machines smart, if they would only find out that you're superhuman, if they'd only put that money into you, and your kids. Wow. It's there, guys. These are not anomalies. They try to act like these are anomalies. Well, something different about these kids. You ever heard of a savant? S-A-V-A-N-T. Have you ever heard of a savant? This is somebody who may not be able to tie their shoes, but they can give you the formula for rocket fuel off the top of their head. You've seen pictures like Rain Man. Brad Pitt. Now, was it Brad Pitt? What is this guy? Yeah, I think so. Anyway, Rain Man. And his brother is mentally ill, it seems. They're putting him in an institution. They're trying to put him in an institution. He goes to get his brother. And he finds out that his brother is a savant. His brother can count cards. He'd take him to the poker. He'd take him to the casino with him. His brother is heavily intelligent. Yeah, he can't walk straight. He can't feed himself properly. But he has an intelligence when it comes to numbers that it will blow your mind. Guys, And they try to act like these are anomalies, you know. Every now and then somebody will show up with a certain superhuman strength or superhuman intelligence. Bullshit. You are superhuman. Ain't nobody gonna tell a sheep that he's a lion. They'll run out of sheep. They don't want robots that think like humans. All they ever really wanted was humans that think like robots. I'm finna open my lines up, guys. I got my chat room open. This is my call-in section. I call it your time to shine. My phone number is area code 319. 527-6060. 319-527-6060. Should be right here on my site, but if you don't see that, my phone number is 319-527-6060. If you call me, you're going straight on the line. You're going to be on the air. Everybody will hear what you have to say. Everybody will hear my response. I got my chat room open. If you got a question, if you got comments, if you got a hysterical outburst, my chat room is open. Feel free. I will respond to those chats. We're in our call-in section here at Revolutionary Life. And I call it your time to shine. Call me. Text me.
Thank you.
You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. Revolutionary Life is here every Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And tonight, guys, we're taking a revolutionary look at AI, artificial intelligence, versus organic human intelligence. And we ask, all of this money going into AI, why aren't there more research going into your mind, your brain, and its capability, its natural organic capabilities? There is nobody augmented some of the superhuman stuff that is going on now with different, it's been going on forever with different people. There are people who are great, who are born. I told you, I'm watching this kid who at 10 years old was already drawing like a master artist. And today she's a teenager and her artwork is selling for thousands and thousands of dollars. And she's enjoying herself as a teenager, and that's all she does. Her family is rich. And she's having a ball. Nobody had to augment her. She didn't have to be augmented with some mechanical device in her brain, like the thing that the Teslas are selling now, are talking about now. Oh, they even have a picture of it. They show where in the brain it sits and how it hooks up to the brain to augment something that is already capable of healing you. The healthcare industry deals with placebo effects
where people are healing themselves based on their belief that they're taking a medication. The tumors go away, and somebody has to tell them down the line that we gave you a sugar pill. We didn't really give you the medication. Then what healed them? What healed them? I'm asking you. They tell me you can also make yourself sick by what you believe. You can make yourself healthy because you believed you took a medication. You can make yourself sick because you can believe you got a disease. And they tell me placebo works best. You can make people believe you're giving them a real medication if you use a hypodemic versus a pill now. Some people done heard about the pill, the sugar pill, and so they're a little skeptical maybe. When they get a hypodermic stuck in their arm, when they get a needle stuck in their arm, they really believe they're getting a medication. And they're healed. And all they got was sugar or saline. Sugar water. Or salt water. They didn't get any medication. Why ain't research going into that? What you believe can heal you. What you believe. Your mind, guys. Why ain't they augmenting our mind? Why aren't they teaching us to augment our own minds by what we believe? Maybe we need to change our beliefs. What they're finding is what you believe can heal you and what you believe can kill you. Why aren't there more research in our belief system? I told you, I went to school, college, university with grown-ups, and I look over, and there's some little 12-year-old kid sitting in the class, 4.0 grade point average. You don't know what you're capable of, and ain't nobody going to tell you. Nobody that want to use and abuse you going to tell you how smart you are, how capable you are. Whenever we find people with these superhuman skills, we always look at it as an anomaly. Or somebody might say, oh, well, maybe they are reincarnated if they go spiritual on you. Maybe they learned this in a past life or some mess like, or something like that. I'm sorry. Guys, my lines are open. My phone number is area code 319-527-6060. I told you. These implants in the brain, this combining human with machine, I don't care what they try to sell you. They're not looking for machines that think like humans. What they would prefer is a human that they can control. Like a machine. Don't fall for the okey-doke. Don't get it twisted. I told you. When I was in high school going into college, they sold us on robotics, told us we'd have more leisure time if robots were doing the work instead of workers. More leisure time. They didn't tell us the robots were going to put us out of work. They didn't say that automobile assembly line and all those workers on those assembly lines were going to be out of work. Anybody with skills, the computer was going to learn those skills, and they're going to get rid of the guy and have the computer do it, AI style. They ain't quite figured it out yet, because when the computer screw up, millions of products get screwed up because ain't nobody watching. So I have to recall all of these products. But we didn't know. We went into robotics. My major was IT. We went into the IT world, knowing that it was going to make life better for everyone, easier for everyone. We didn't know it was going to take jobs. There were no substitutes, no alternatives. We didn't know it was going to make life easier and make money for businesses, but make us unemployed. AI. My chat room is open. Anybody got questions, comments, hysterical outbursts? It don't matter. Put it in the chat. I'll respond. This part of my show is the call-in section, guys. And so it's your time to shine. You're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary. I'm your host. And keep in mind, guys, we're here every weekday night, 7 p.m. to 9 Central Standard Time. Tonight we're talking AI, artificial. Every night, every weekday night, we take on a particular subject. You never know what that subject's going to be. if you'd like to know ahead of time, that if you look up to the upper right-hand corner of your screen, if you're watching my site, you might see a follow button. If you click that button, you might be able to get yourself a heads up on what the topic's going to be these nights. And also, there's a share button up there, guys. So if you think there's somebody who might be interested in this subject, or just looking at the same subjects that are affecting our lives every day, but looking at them from a different perspective, a revolutionary one, share our site with them. Share this program. Share this broadcast with them. That helps us out. And maybe it'll help them out too. I don't know. But right here, when we look at the world, the things that affect us from a revolutionary point of view, we do so because we are revolutionaries. Because we want change. And revolution is just change. That's all it is. And there's a lot of things out there that need changing. Tonight, we're talking in artificial intelligence. All the money they're pouring into artificial intelligence and creating technologies that are supposed to enhance or augment the human mind, the human brain. And I got news for you. The human brain is smarter than all of the stuff they got out there. If we just took the time. I got a caller. I want you to hang on, everyone. I'm going to try to bring our caller onto the air. Just a moment. And hello, caller. This is Gary. You're on the air with Revolutionary Life. How are you doing today?
How are you doing, Gary? I was just kind of listening.
Okay.
I wasn't really planning on commenting, but I will say, since I'm on, I mean, I'll just say this, Patrick. So I think... There's a couple of things going on in the space, and I'm in technology, so I have been for many years. But what many people see now as, you know, when you go around and you start seeing things like powered by AI and that kind of thing, like, not really. That's not really artificial intelligence at our level. When we start seeing it on an everyday basis or even in business, you know, people who have these cloud solutions and they say, oh, AI powered. And it's not really, right?
Why don't you break artificial that down intelligence.
Well, it's not really because what it is just advanced algorithms, analytics, and machine learning, right? So it still depends on the input or the way that is programmed. In the way that information or data is analyzed, right? So what they're finding now, as an example, is that there's a lot of bias. So when you start looking at, and I think there's a program on Netflix about this. You know, even as far as facial recognition is having a hard time distinguishing between certain black people, right? Because of the people who are putting in the algorithms are who? Not us.
That's right.
So what's happening is people are designing certain systems to do certain things and then try to say, well, it's not us. It's the machine thinking for itself. It's, no. You've programmed that in, right? All these things are programmed in. Artificial intelligence assumes that you can let it run, give it no data, and it will just start learning. It will be able to develop its own ways of analyzing everything as opposed to it being programmed in. And that's not really done yet. Like, that's not done. So what you're getting is you're getting people's biases. And you're getting somebody programming something, and what they're doing is they're making it seem like the machine is thinking on its own, and it's not. It's going based on the data that is being given and how it analyzes that data. So in a way, to a large extent, we're being duped. And I think this could have some pretty bad effects going forward, because we're going to believe that, you know, this thing is fair and thinking on its own when it's really not. It's been pre-programmed. So it's going to have the same biases that their creator and whoever's programming it has.
I agree. I mean, I think just on a basic level, I know people who think artificial intelligence is Alexa, a Siri.
Oh, no.
Because they can answer back. You can ask them questions, and they can answer your questions, and they think, wow, these machines are really smart.
That's a great example. Alexa is not artificial intelligence, no. Being able to process and analyze data has already been done. They're just doing it more efficiently now. And, you know, being able to analyze a lot of data very efficiently. And, you know, things like Alexa can do that. So it can hear sounds, it can memorize certain sounds, you know, certain words, and then go look it up, right? Just like you look it up on the internet,
exactly.
It goes and looks up in a database what it is, and then it comes back and is able to then convert that data into sounds, words, and then it brings it back to you, right? It associates those things with sound, with words, and then it kind of just gives it back to you. And that's all it is. But people think because they can't see what's going on the back end, they think that it's some kind of magic, that it's some kind of artificial intelligence when it's not. It's a centralized database.
That's a very...
It's not... It's centralized. It's Alexa. Who is that? Was that Amazon? I don't have Alexa, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's Amazon. That's Amazon.
So it's Amazon. That's Amazon's AWS backend. I mean, that's Amazon's database. And they're analytics. It's not a free-thinking thing. It's things that they put in and data that they expose to the system. So it's not. That's a great example. Great example.
Yeah. It's an algorithm. And that algorithm is created by human beings. And I was just saying, if we put all of this money into developing our human cells, you'd be surprised at some of the things that we are capable of doing as human beings that a machine could never do. And I think when you go to school, when they teach you STEM, when they put your kids in the STEM in these classes where they're learning mathematics and whatnot, they're preparing them to go get a job, sure. But they're not exploring these people's potential. I told you. This little girl who was an artist at 10 years old, accomplished, she don't study math and science and all that, right? And so they got on her case about it. Why don't you have her go be like a regular child and learn the things a regular child has to learn? And her parents said, well, first of all, she's happy painting. She's making thousands of dollars, by the way. The stuff is beautiful if you see her work. And now she's a teenager, and she talks to other teenagers, but they found out that she loved to paint when she was young, and they kind of encouraged that. And so the parents asked, well, what do you mean a regular teenager? Do you mean she should be stuck into a cell phone 24 hours a day, texting and TikToking? And as opposed to that, she's turned out beautiful artwork. And she's happy doing it. How many of our kids are born? How many of our kids right now has things that they just would do ordinarily, they love to do, but they do it better than anybody else? And instead of encouraging that and putting time and money and resources behind developing that that innate interest that the kid has, we tell them, okay, put that stuff down. Now you got to go to school and you got to learn your ABCs and you got to learn STEM. You got to learn this mathematics or whatever. And so we're just not, and I think it's purposeful, we're just not exploring human potential. We'd rather have a machine potential going on, it seems. And so it bothers me that we put all this money into intelligent equipment and tech to be smart, to augment, to help us supposedly. And I told you, they told me robots were going to help us too, and automation was going to help us. But it put us out of work is what it did. And we didn't get any benefit from it. The factories got benefits from it because they got robots instead of humans. And robots don't take days off. But the guy who lost his job at the factory didn't get any benefit. He had to go find some work. And so, but they sell you on these things. And they're selling us on AI, just like you said. They're selling us on AI. And some of these people think Alexa is AI and all these things. And the cloud is really a cloud. And they just another computer somewhere, just off-site computer.
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you heard anybody that had these things talk about it as if it's a person? It's absolutely amazing. Oh, she always says, I was like, what? She who? What are you talking about? And it's talking about this Alexa. I just find it fascinating every time I hear it.
Every new technology requires. Every new technology requires you to learn something.
Exactly. Yes.
Every technology requires you to stop doing things that way and start doing it this way in order for that technology to work. And if somebody will tell you, you know, you call the help desk, they said, "Oh no, you can't do it like that. You have to do this first, then that, then this, and then that." And you say, "Oh, okay." And so now you have to change everything you do to make the equipment run right like you want it to. You have to get into its way of doing things. And so you're changing your life for the technology. The technology is not augmenting your life. It's changing it to benefit, to make the technology so-called work. And so it's changing us. But not for the better. It's just making us more reliant on technology. And I told you, I think they don't want robots who think like people. I think they want people who think like robots. That's my take. Go ahead.
I agree. No, I agree with you, brother. I mean, technology is just something that, you know, it's a way to do something. And like I said before, if you don't know what it is you want, then you're just going to be a tool to these things, right? You can use technology for anything. I mean, people, they're using technology to serve a purpose, these corporations. It serves a purpose for them. But people have to decide now.
For them.
If we want to engage in technology, what is it that we need to do that maybe we can use new technology to help us do? But until you figure out what it is you want, you're just going in circles. If you don't have
a whole thing right now. There's a whole thing right now about agriculture. Bill Gates has put in, has supported this effort to introduce technology and, what do you call it, to introduce this new technology into agriculture to supposedly to help countries like India and others develop agriculture better, right? The people who know better are saying, wait a minute. You're coming grabbing all of this data about our country and its agriculture Now, we've been growing for centuries. We were an agrarian society long before we were a techno-industrial society. Now, you're going to tell us how to best grow stuff. And you're going to sell us this technology, this big data that has come up with after absorbing all of our information about our technology, our soils and what we grow and everything. And you're going to tell us when to grow and when the best time to grow by technical, by some AI machine. And they're saying that we've been growing stuff for 1,000 years. But now we're supposed to start relying on technology. Gosh, I got to do something on that. But, yeah.
And you should also do something on not just, you know, what he's doing with GMO.
Yeah.
About GMO being human GMO. About human GMO. We're now in an age where we're faced with genetically modified human beings versus non-genetically modified human beings.
Well, that's interesting.
That's where we are right now.
We have a vaccine now, a new type of vaccine. There used to be a dead or dying. They used to use a dead or dying virus, a weak virus or a dead virus to stick in you and have your immune system develop immunity to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're actually taking RNA. Now they're actually taking genetic material and injecting into you of a virus.
And that's what I meant. That's what I meant when I said genetically modified human beings versus non-genetically modified human beings. Now we got this going on. It's not just genetically modified foods. It's genetically modified human beings. And now if you're non-genetically modified, how do you engage with genetically modified human beings? Do you date them?
Uh-oh.
Do you kiss them? Do you have children by the bodily fluids with them?
Mm.
Because their DNA is in those fluids. These are all the things that we got to talk about at some point.
Okay. Now, I want to do GMOs for sure, because that's what came to mind when I started talking agriculture. I started talking about food shortages. There's no such thing. We do need to address anybody. Golly. All right, I'm running out of time, guys. So I think I'm going to do one on that, because, man, it blows my mind. If you ever work for an institution, if you ever work for a military or any kind of big institution, you know the waste of food that goes on every day in these industries. I've seen them throw away food. There are sharks that follow up behind aircraft carriers who have, you know, 1,000 people on them almost. And because they're big as a small city, some of them, and they cook 24/7. If you're a sailor on an aircraft carrier, they got a kitchen that runs 3 years. And so when that food ain't eaten, it's thrown away. And I can tell you several institutions I've been a part of that have food left over and they just dump it. And so it's a waste going on. That's what really going on. Not really a shortage of food. There's no need for GMO food. But, and monoculture. Let's grow one crop. And then they wonder why they got locusts. All right. I'm running out of time. We're down to about 2 or 3 minutes. But, man, I sure appreciate you calling
in. All right,
brother. Stick,
all right,
stick
no
with
problem.
Us. We're going to work this thing. All right.
All right.
Okay. Guys, you're listening to Revolutionary Life. This is Gary speaking. Tonight we did a thing on AI, but we're here every weekday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. All right? And you never know what the subject's going to be. So you can click that follow button and try to find out what the next topic is going to be ahead of time. And please, if you know others who might be interested, hit that share button. And let's get this show on the road. Thank you for listening in. I appreciate you. And I'll see you tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is Gary. I'm out. Let me give you a little music as we go.